السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين محمد النبي الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي زدني علما وارزقني فهما، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله، الله سبحانه وتعالى has granted us the tawfiq to gather for a درس of or درس from the مكتوبات of Imam Rabbani Mujaddid al-Thani رحمه الله تعالى. We completed after a number of دروس the مكتوب 62 from volume 1 to Mirza Hisam al-Din that Mujaddid al-Thani رحمه الله عليه had written. We discussed many things in there, including jazb and suluk, the difference between jazb and suluk, the jazb mubtadi and the jazb muntahi, and what is the meaning of the mashayikh and Naqshband saying that they have placed the nihaya in the bidaya. We discussed all of these things in the maqamat ashra. Now, after completing that, we began the dars of Maktub 287, which was addressed to none other than his own brother. Mujaddid Thani Abdullah Ali wrote this to his own brother. We have been away for a few weeks, and that is because I was in the company of my Shaykh and my Murshid, Hazrat Wala Sayyid Shabir Ahmed Hafidullah Ta'ala. We traveled from Pakistan, and I was his host, and we got to travel, alhamdulillah, 6 weeks, each day, every day, alhamdulillah, we spent with Hadhrat Sheikh, and there were talks in various masajid all around the country, in England and Scotland and other places, alhamdulillah. It was Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, taqabbal Allah. Now, we've just resumed. So what I want to do in this session is, before continuing with Maktub 287, which is a very long Maktub, it will take many durus. It took us over a year to complete with Hazrat Sheikh. So, and we asked many questions along the way. So what I want to do is, for those, if you don't have it in front of you, to bring it in front of you, meaning the Maktub 287, to bring it in front of you from the translations that were shared, and ask questions with regards to it. First of all, does everybody understand what is jazb? I'm going to ask just one sentence, explain what jazb is one by one. I want you to unmute your mic and to do share what you think the jazb is. Dr. Adeshina, assalamu alaikum. Please, in one sentence, tell me what jazb is.
Amin alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah.
Jazba means the desire of a beginner to practice the sunnah. That desire in him to practice, to do all what the sunnah we are required to do.
Yes, mashallah. Okay, that's a good explanation, alhamdulillah. Muhammad, please, you now.
Yes, can you hear me, Sheikh?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Yes, yes, so I also think the jazb is when you get that feeling to just want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do good deeds and do more of the sunnah. And yes, that's what I think.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. And Sa'il?
I would define jazba as a heart-filled passion towards following Allah's commands and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a strength, a reassurance, a boost.
Okay, alhamdulillah. And Mufti Zahir?
As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh Sahib.
As-salamu alaykum, Mufti Sahib. from reading?
Jazb is a good feeling that you can get from a naat or staying within Allah doing zikr that pushes you to do more good deeds and to want to do good.
Okay, Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah, all of them are correct. Everybody, every single person was correct in what they gave as a definition. Slight variations in people's way of explaining, and that's good because a real way of understanding, if everybody's understood, is if the people attending a dars or a talk or a session of ilm, that they can then explain it in their own words. This is very important that they're then able to explain it in their own words. Alhamdulillah. So Jazakallah khair for that. What I would add to that is the following. It's important to understand that jazba or jazb, it's actually with a vowel. So it's jazba, but in Farsi, in Urdu, it's jazba. Khair, we're not doing an Arabic lesson here. So jazb is that it is temporary. That's very important to note. It's temporary. What we're trying to do right now is cover some of the key concepts before we move forward, inshallah ta'ala, because it's been some time and because of the lack of continuity due to the reasons mentioned previously, it's important to cover some of those essential concepts and terminologies and their understanding so that we can all move forward together, inshallah ta'ala. There'll be benefit therein. So this is temporary. Now, why is it temporary? Because the nafs has not yet been purified. The nafs is the hijab of the desires and the three main categories of passion: hubbe jah, hubbe bah, and hubbe mal. Hubbe jah means love for honor, prestige, preferential treatment, to be valued and liked by other people, and to look for fame. And fame doesn't mean somebody, everybody wants to be a celebrity. It means a person wants to stand out from other people, not for the sake of Allah, but for the sake of recognition and for the sake of his nafs. He likes to sit at the front, not because he feels he'll miss out if he's at the back of a dars, but he wants to do so that he can stand out. And so on, or she wants to stand out, so on and so forth. So this is these are the hindrances and the obstacles of the nafs. Hubbe jah, hubbe bah means ladhat, or in Urdu and Farsi, lazzat. It means those things that we like and desire, the taste of. It could be physical taste, food, drink, sexual passion and desires. All of these desires are ladhat. They're things that please the physical body. And this is called hubbe bah. And hubbe mal means the love of wealth. Wealth doesn't just mean bank balance, it means those materialistic items, the things that we feel we need to have. Like people compete in having the latest mobile phone, whether it's an Android or an iPhone or the latest watch, or if everyone's got a smart watch, I need to have a smart watch. Huh? Astaghfirullah. And clothes and cars and all of these things. This is all dunya. So hubbe mal, it covers that. Hubbe jah, we talked about. Hubbe bah, we talked about in its categories. And hubbe mal. Now, these are the main three categories, which you can subdivide further categories and subdivide further and further, but they are generally the main areas which it has categorized the desires of the nafs. These then constitute barriers. What do we call these barriers? Hijabat. These are veils. What kind of hijabat? Hijabat dhulmani. They are dhulma, darknesses. And hijabat dhulmani means veils of darkness. Why are they called veils of darkness? Because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which Nabi Kareem, Sayyid al-Kawnain, Fakhreddin Alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said that when a person commits a sin, a black spot or a dark spot takes place in his qalb, his spiritual heart. And if he does not do tawbah and he repeats another sin, the spot gets bigger and bigger until it becomes totally dark and now no nur can enter it. So this is dhulma, darkness upon darkness upon darkness. Alhamdulillah. If he does tawbah, then these darknesses, these dhulamat, are removed and it is polished again and light enters it again. But if one does not, then it is full darkness. This is why sins are considered hijab of zulma, of darkness, veils and obstacles of darkness, because of the impact they have on the ruh, because of the impact they have on the ruh. And we have proven that from the hadith. The question arises here, this is just a side note for those who are deeply interested in understanding some of the terminologies of the Sufi Kiram. Then what are hijabat al-Nurani? What are the hijabat al-Nurani? If these are the ones that are darknesses, then what are the ones that are made of light? Allah. Alhamdulillah. You must forgive me, I have a bit of a cold, hence why I'm muting if I sneeze so that you don't have to go through the pain and the ilza of suffering from the loudness of my sneeze. Khair. I'll blast the hood, inshallah ta'ala. Excuse me a moment, too. So hijabat nurani are those hijabat, listen carefully inshallah ta'ala, are those hijabat, those veils, which don't create darkness. So what do they do? Do you create light? No. They are such that they're still obstacles, but they come from doing good actions. For example, somebody gives sadaqah in charity or helps another brother, or a sister helps a sister. Or somebody memorizes verses of the Quran. These are all a'mal khayr. Somebody does some dhikr. Now somebody does dhikr, let's take that for an example. These are all a'mal khayr. These are all things that are deserving of hasanat and rewards, inshaAllah ta'ala, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved Lord. But if that same dhikr creates in us a nice feeling, oh, subhanAllah, I feel so good, Allahu Akbar, and a person then starts doing dhikr for that feeling, that's a hijab of nur. That's a hijab of nur, because the feeling, is it Allah or is it ghayr Allah? It's ghayr Allah. Feelings are still ghayr Allah. The feeling in and of itself is mahmood, it's praiseworthy. But it is not maqsood. It's not the determined goal. The goal is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wasal not in terms of physical union, because Allah is wara'ul wara. Laysa ka mithlu shay'un. There is none like unto him. Allah is Allah. Makhluk is makhluk. We are creation. How can there be a union between the two? But what is meant by wasal, as Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah alayhi, Shaykh Ahmad Sirhindi al-Hanafi, Nawar Allahum al-Qadu, and later expounded by another Naqshbandi Mujaddid, Shaykh Shah Waliullah al-Muhaddith al-Dahlawi rahmatullah ta'ala, Ibn Abdul Rahim, that the Allahu Akbar. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. These, to recap and go back a little bit actually before I go any further, these hijabat of kayfiyat and feelings and states, Although in and of itself they are mahmud. So for example, if somebody feels peaceful when they're doing dhikr, that's mahmud, but that's not the reason we're doing it. One has to do it solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now coming back to what I was saying just now, there can be no wasl, real union between the creation and the created. So what is meant by this? It is meant that a person reaches a rank and a time and a position spiritually and a level of realization within themselves that I am the servant of Allah. I'm Abdullah. This is called Maqam-e Ubudiyya or Maqam-e Abdiyat, depending what language you're speaking. There is no higher rank than this. There's no higher Maqam than this. When a servant truly realizes he is a servant of Allah, Allah, wara'al wara'. That does not mean that Allah is not felt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum," and He is with you when there is nobody else with you. Allahu Akbar. Before we do our muraqabah and dhikr, I often recite this verse myself and tell brothers and sisters to recite this verse. "Wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum." Because when you do muraqabah on this verse, you feel huduri. Huduri means a feeling of being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's also kayfiyat. That's also a feeling. So it's praiseworthy. It means a person is heading in the right direction. But if a person stays there, then what happens? They're not moving forward. They must reject this as well. These are hijabat and nurani. An example of this that the mashayikh give is, if you're traveling on a train, I traveled recently from from Scotland to Birmingham. It was a very pleasant journey, alhamdulillah, with the Sheikh and one of my other friends, Sheikh Muhammad Nawaz, Hafidhullah, was also visiting. And we were traveling together, alhamdulillah. Scotland is a very beautiful place. We're coming down, and I was doing some work. Hazrat Sheikh was doing some dhikr and took some rest. We had an empty train, nobody to the left, nobody to the right. Alhamdulillah. And what was ajeeb was that when we were traveling by car to various cities, various masajid for spiritual retreat programs and so forth, Hazrat Sheikh would obviously sit in the front seat, first passenger seat, and the driver, whoever it was, whether it was myself or anybody else, they would be awake, obviously, because if your driver falls asleep, it's a problem. So Hazrat Shaykh, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he would, in spite of his old age, 70 plus, he would have to remain awake and do the mujahidah of staying awake. At one stage he said, "I am now engaging," this is what Hazrat Shaykh said, "I am engaging front seat passenger protocol." Allahu Akbar. Meaning, he would stay awake while everybody else dozed off in the back. So I said to him later on that, "Hazrat Sheikh, you discharged a fardhi kifaya on behalf of everybody." He just returned it with a smile. Allahu Akbar. He did not try and wake everybody else up. Listen, I am the Grand Sheikh here. You will wake up. You're my murids. You're my students. You're my khulafa. You're my khuddam. He didn't say anything like that. He just carried on doing what he felt was the right thing. So being on the train was a lot easier because there was nobody to stay awake. Khair. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So we traveling on the train, you see trees, you see various things. We saw lakes, we saw mountains and so forth. But if a person then disembarks from the train, which is heading towards Birmingham, which is the final destination in that instance. And if I start counting, look at that hill, look at that sheep, look at those horses, look at those trees, look at that lake. Now, if I stay there, I failed because I've got off and I've got distracted by the scenery. Now, the scenery in and of itself, was it bad? Was seeing them wrong? No. It was good. In fact, It was mahmud. It was praiseworthy because it was a sign that I was heading in the right direction because there were signposts on the way. But if I then start looking at that and stop thinking about what my end goal is, an end destination is the final destination. Manzil maqsood. The manzil means the place. Maqsood means desired. Manzil maqsood is what? Wasal ilallah. And that we worship Allah as though we see Him. Hadith Jibreel, anta abadullaha ka'annaka tarah ila al-akhir al-hadith. That we worship Allah as though we see Him, if not with the certainty that He sees us, because He does see us. He hears us. Wa huwa sami' basir. And as the ayah that I recited, wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. And He is with you when nobody else is with you. Fazkuruni. أذكركم. Remember me and I'll remember you. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, Ya أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم. O mankind. This is to everybody, Muslim and non-Muslim. Not Ya أيها الذين آمنوا. This is Ya أيها الإنسان, O mankind. Men, women, children, Muslim, non-Muslim. Ya أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم. What has rendered you, made you neglectful, forget your Kareem, Lord? What a loving way to address His creation. Allah could just say, you wretched people, individual, how ungrateful you are, I am your creator. You Allah saying, yeah, you're an insan, oh people, oh mankind. Ma gharraka, ma comes for harf istifham, for a question. Ma gharraka bi rabbik al-kareem. What has made you forget your Rabb? Allah didn't say Allah. Your Rabb, your Lord, Kareem. Kareem means the one who gives bila istihqaq, without the one being given, deserving what is being given. And who deserves anything from Allah? We've spent a lifetime of sin, of our eyes, of our tongue, of our ears, of our hands, of our heart. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the dhulumat nurani, kayfiyat. Feelings. This is why sometimes Allah sends a feeling of qabz or qabd, meaning spiritual contrition. Contraction means remorse, but contraction, when a person doesn't even want to read fard salah, a person doesn't even want to do wudu and read fajr salah. So a person then gets depressed thinking, I don't even want to read anything. And yesterday I was doing so much dhikr and salawat and salam and I was seeing dreams and now I don't even want to read salah. But this is just a feeling. It's a test from Allah. Now will He do the ibadah? Now will He show that He is my true lover? Now will He show that He's not going to leave it because His nafs is not getting the joy and the buzz and the excitement and the shauq and the jazbah of worshipping? So Allah takes away that sweetness from ibadah for a while as a test. But give glad tidings to those who are وَبَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ and give glad tidings to those who are patient. And patience is of many kinds. It's not just patience in terms of something bad happens. That's الصَّبَرَ عَنِ الْإِبْتَلَاهِ. But there's sabr and al ma'asiyah. To refrain from sins is also sabr. And sabr, when one is making dua for something to happen, it has not yet happened. Many different forms of sabr. It's also one of the maqams of suluk to establish sabr. Now, coming on to the maqamat ashara, Allahu Akbar. A question often arises. Which maqam to do first? Well, the two that everybody can do straight away and work on of the 10 is maqam tawbah, maqam inabah. Tawbah means repentance, and the essence of repentance is to seek Allah's forgiveness for the sins that we've committed, that we commit every day. And to have nadam. Nadam is the arafa of tawbah. Nadam is the arafa of tawbah. Because without nadam, without remorse and guilt, how can there be true tawbah? And as the hadith tells us, in fact, it's a call of Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, الندب توبة وتائب من ذنبك من لا ذنب له. That the الندم التوبة, the ندم remorse is توبة, and وتائب من ذنب, and the one who does توبة from them sin, كمن لا ذنب له, it is as if he has not sinned, meaning Allah wipes it out. Allah even makes the angels forget if it's a true tawbah. And Allah then gives the tawfiq for hasanat. And those, this is why the Sufia are so amazing in their insight of how to change one's life and make it conform to Quran. So there is no losing hope. Doesn't matter what a person has done. Doesn't matter what sins a person has committed, man or woman. Doesn't matter what haram a person is engaged in. If they do a true tawbah, it is all cleared. And Allah then will make other people forget as well if they know about the sin, as long as we're sincere. And Allah then grants tawfiq to do khair in the same way. And this is why the awliya, they're experts in guiding their murids and students. What do? They say, where you committed a sin, for example, if somebody committed a haram by watching something haram in their room, then in that same room, in that same spot, they should clean it, make sure it's park and it's tahir. And it is a place where they can now do some tilawah of Quran in that same spot. Maybe read salah in that same spot. Read some salawat and salam in the same spot. So that that same spot now becomes a witness to khair. This is how the awliya have guided us. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. They say if you've committed a sin, you should do khair with the same jinns. Meaning, if somebody committed zina, that's haram. Having sexual relations outside of marriage, it's haram. So what should he do? He should help people financially to have their nikah done. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is the way that the masters, Sufia, teach us the path. It's all about love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person really wants to make amends for something, they try and do everything they can to please Allah. It's seeking opportunities and windows of opportunities to please our beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first two maqams, maqam al-tawbah, inaba. Questions, what is inaba? If this is tawbah, what's inaba? Well, inaba is to put in place safeguarding barriers and measures, safeguarding barriers and measures to prevent oneself falling into the same sins and committing dhunub, ma'asiyah, sin, gunah, right? And to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, if somebody knows that when they speak to certain friends, they're going to end up backbiting other people, the first thing they talk about, oh, do you know what he got up to? Do you know what she got up to? Do you know what happened here? Oh, I heard a rumor about so-and-so. Did you hear about that, Maulana? Did you hear about that, brother? Did you hear, oh, their marriage is on the rocks? Did you hear that apparently this happened? All of this, if you know that that's going to happen, then to not even speak to those people, cut oneself off from them. If they call, are you okay? Text me, alhamdulillah, just very, very busy at the moment. What are you busy with? You know how the Sahaba would answer? I'm busy with the Akhirah. Allahu Akbar. To have such a... But nowadays, we care more about what people think. Oh, I can't say that to them. They'll say, who is he? I know him before. He was not like this before. He's become extreme. So we worry about what people think. But when you truly love Allah, when your dhikr goes from becoming lisani to becoming qalbi, then becoming ruhi, then it permeates, then it becomes one's actual state of dhikr until you reach sultan al-adhkar and your whole body starts doing the dhikr of. And then you don't even need words. There's silence and you're with Allah, who are ma'akum ayna ma'akumtu. And then in that state, a person doesn't care what anybody else thinks. In that state, he's like the Sahabi who dropped a piece of food and his companions. This is after the time of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he dropped some food and his companion said, do not pick it up, clean it and eat it. Even though that's sunnah, don't do that. They will consider it backwards here. And he said, أَعْتَرَكَ سُنْتَ حَبِيبِ لِحَالِ الْحَمَّقَى. Do you want me to leave and tark the sunnah of my beloved, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for these fools? Once I said to my sheikh that sometimes when I'm praying salah or as an imam leading salah, the thought of riya enters the heart, ostentation, that perhaps I'm doing it for other people, not for Allah. And he said, no, for riya, you have to have pre-planned that today I'm going to pray to please the people. If you're standing there and you're fearing that it may be riya, it's just a waswasa from shaitan, subhanAllah. And then what did he say? He said, I said the same to my sheikh. This is where the silsila comes in. Experience, suhbah, suhbah, suhbah. And his sheikh said to him, what? He said the same complaint to his sheikh, that I feel like other people are looking and I'm doing it for them, not for Allah anymore. And the sheikh said that, do you, if there were chatai means in the Indian subcontinent and in Africa, they are like straw bedding, you know, straw bedding that you can wrap up. Some people can put food in it. You can lie down on it. It's just like a mat made out of straw, chatai, right? And if that's many different chatais laid out on a roof or different places. So he said, think of people as chatai. Do you, if there's chatai around you, do you think that these beddings are looking at you? Do you think these chairs? But I'll give you a different example. Forget chatai, we don't know in England or Europe or West. But maybe Dr. Adishina will know and some of the brothers will know. But what it is that let's take chair. Chairs are there in a room, in a hall, in a masjid. Do we think that the chairs are looking at me? No, we think they're lifeless, inanimate objects. So we should think of other people as that as well. That they're just like chairs in a room, right? So when the dhikr really takes over, a person doesn't care if the imamah is not perfectly symmetrical, if they didn't just tie their imamah. They don't care if their beard is just perfectly shaped. They don't care if their jubba or their thobe has got a little bit of a stain of food. It's still tahir, it's still pak, it's still clean. They can pray in it, but they don't want to because it looks dirty. This is all for other people. Also matching. Some people have to match their clothes all the time. You know, Allah forbid if their scarf or their imamah does not watch or match their jubba or their thobe or their kurta or their garment or their shirt. Or the sisters who absolutely love matching. This is more prevalent in them. This is all for people pleasing. All for people pleasing. Not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise it does not matter. As long as it's clean, it's suitable, it does not expose you, your body. Alhamdulillah. Life is so much simpler when you don't have to think about these things. Allahu Akbar. It's more of a tension, more of a stress when you have to think, oh, what do other people think? That's why the awliya Allah, they're so relaxed. And sitting with them, you feel relaxed. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Allahu Akbar. Khair, these were some of the things I wanted to cover. So, inaba, tawbah in inaba. Tawbah is to repent from one's sins. Right? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innal abda idha ftarafa thumma taba taba Allah alayhi. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed, that a person does not turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or sin, thumma taba, tabullah alayhi, but that he turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repents, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his repentance. Ya Rab. And you know, in the verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, Ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. It's a very, very famous verse. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلم أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنة تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العامل. يا الله يا كريم. Khair, inaba is to put the safeguarding measures in place to ensure that one does not. For example, a common thing that a brother came for Fajr walk recently, in another city, not in Birmingham, another city. And he said to me, I end up watching movies and songs and videos, haram things that I shouldn't be watching. What should I do? I said, make sure your door's always open. Just make sure your door's always open and that anybody can come in at any time. The fear of that will teach the nafs not to misbehave. You have to do some action. It's not going to be a switch that the sheikh switches on, gives some tawajjuh, and that's done. The work has to be done. That's called suluk. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَيَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا Not جَاهَدُوا وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَيَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Verily, indeed, those who strive and struggle in our path. So this is the striving and struggling. It doesn't say the one who gets the tawajjuh from my wali. The rule is what? The qaida kulliya is those who strive in effort, we will surely, definitely, لَيَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا We'll show them many of our ways. Subulana, not sabil, not one path, many paths. Whether it's the Chishtiyya, the Qadariyya, Naqshbandiyya, Suhuwardiyya, Rifa'iyya, Shadhiliyya. These are different paths. There's one tariqah, which what we were discussing with our Sheikh, which is just focusing on various verses of the Holy Quran. Right? One brother asked me about Dalal-e Khairat earlier, and all of these Dalal-e Khairat, these are salawat and salam written words by the awliya, and they're blessed. And the awliya Allah are blessed. They are friends of Allah, and we love them and revere them. But tell me this. Those written by people, whether it's Imam Shafi'i, whether it's Imam Rifa'i, Ahmad Rifa'i, whether it's Mulla Jami, whether it's the Qasida Burda, if Imam Sharfuddin Al-Busayri, Rahimullah Ta'ala, or whether it's Dalal Khairat, is that better or the words that are taught to us by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself? The words taught to us by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith, Jazallahu anna Muhammadan ma huwa ahlahu. Bismillahi wa salamu ala Rasulullah wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi wa sallallahu ala nabi Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. All of these salawat and all of these salam, these sighas, these forms, sighas, meaning these forms of salawat and salam can be used. Any one of these can be used. There's no restriction on them. And they are all from hadith taught by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they trump. They take priority. They are more blessed than those taught by other people. That doesn't mean their durood and salam is not accepted. Maybe because of the love with which they wrote it, they will be taken to high ranks. But if somebody recites a long salawat like Allahumma salli ala Muhammad ala abdika wa rasulika al nabiyya al ummi wa ala ali Muhammad Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad salatan takunu laka rizqan lahu jazaa wa حقه أداء وعاته الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزي عنا ما هو أهله واجزي أفضل ما جزيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصلي على الجميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين If somebody says a long one like that, that's masnoon. It's from the hadith. Whereas somebody recites another one from one of the Dalal al-Khairat or any of the blessed books, then yes, there will be reward there, no doubt. But these are more blessed. It's all about yaqeen. People have more yaqeen in what the awliya have said than what the Prophet ﷺ has said. And alhamdulillah, our mashayikh, even this khadim, have taken ijazah in Dalal al-Khairat from mashayikh over the years. But that doesn't mean that it's something that we need. We have the durood, and in this month of Rabiul Awwal, which is the blessed month of the Mawlid of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should have at least a target of doing a minimum of. There are brothers that I know, alhamdulillah, in the tariqah, they do 10,000 salawat and salam a day. Allah Akbar. Salawat and salam, meaning Durood Sharif. It's so blessed, it's so blessed, it's so blessed. What to say? Allah Akbar of the Salawat and salam. Each one brings so many blessings. Each one brings so many blessings. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is one who sends one salawat and salam upon the Prophet ﷺ, Allah sends upon him 10 blessings. So imagine somebody reciting 10,000 salawat and salam. In any case, in our tariqah, in our silsila, we have a target in the Rabiul Awwal of 250,000, a quarter of a million each. And if not, then an absolute bare minimum of 150,000 in the month. 150,000. That means 5,000 a day. 5,000, 10 days, 50,000, 20 days, 100,000, 30 days, 150,000. And then we send it. The angels convey it anyway, but we also send it and report it to one of our shuyukh of the tariqah who lives in Medina Munawwara, close to the Prophet ﷺ's blessed resting place in the Rawdha. And he is somebody who sees the Prophet ﷺ in the state of wakefulness. They're known as Sahib al-Huduri. And he conveys it to the Prophet ﷺ also. And glad tidings are received from him, from the Prophet ﷺ also. Because, yes, angels convey it, but if somebody goes to Medina, saying, I'm going on the Umrah, do we not say, convey our salams to the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, we do. So you can use various different forms of sending the same message. You can use a text message, you can use a WhatsApp message, you can write a letter, you can send a message by somebody, you can record a voicemail. Similarly, you can send it through angels, which is a nidam, a system Allah set up. You can send it through people going on Hajj and Umrah and for ziyarah to Madina Munawwara. And you can also convey it to the awliya, Allah who lived there, who have a direct connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah. So this is something we should do in Rabi'ul Awwal, and also we should try and at least learn a couple of new du'as, adiyya of the sunnah, the ones of waking up, you know, alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'da ma matina wa lahi nushur, the ones going to sleep, bismillah, namut wa ahya, entering the toilet, a'udhu billahi min yadu wa khuwati wa khaba'ith, coming out, wafranak, alhamdulillah, alladhi adhaba'ani al-adha wa afani, before eating, bismillah, barakatillah. After finishing eating, alhamdulillah, the atama saqan wa ja'alani al-muslimin. When looking in the mirror, Allahumma ahsan dakhalki wa ahsan khuluqi. Oh Allah, you made my beautiful exterior and grant me my interior, my character to also be to be. And so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah. And when somebody sneezes, to say, yarhamukum Allah. And these adiyya must be our daily habit, and we should do it with love. Because if we follow the example of the Prophet ﷺ, we'll become beloved to Allah. Allah says that. That's the promise code. That's the promise code to success. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you claim to love Allah, follow me. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And Allah will forgive you. Allahu غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah is the most forgiving, of returning, most gracious. With that, I have gone on longer than I expected to. This was a recap on Jazb and Suluk, Maqamat the Ashara, and the two Maqams that we should cover out of the 10. Only 8 to go. And if we fall into error, we should then repeat Tawbah and put the stronger safeguarding. There's no losing hope in Islam. There is no despair. There's no despair. There's no depression in Islam. Ours is a deen of hope, of love and hope, constantly. Look at those children in Palestine and Gaza especially. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. They haven't lost hope. And we're losing hope because we ended up falling into sin again. Let's dust ourselves off. Astaghfirullah Rabbi. Oh Allah, forgive me. Wa atubu ilayhi, and I turn to you. Astaghfirullah Rabbi. Min kulli dhanbin, min from kulli dhanbin, from all the sins that I've committed. Wa an atubu ilayhi, and I turn to you. Oh Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to turn towards Him. And may Allah grant us the maqam of tawbah and inaba. How does it become a maqam, an achieved maqam? When it is established. When a person does not return to sin. When sin now becomes abnormal to him. It seems very ajib to him, strange. It feels like death to him. So we should go for that, and we should always make dua to Allah. Is it only through His fadl, His grace, His mercy, that He gives us the tawfiq to take His name right now and the name of His beloved Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And please remember us in your dua. We shall be at the usual time next week at 2 p.m. or 2:30, inshallah. 2 p.m. It will be announced between 2 and 3, and hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, we can continue with Maktub 287. Any questions in the meantime, do put it on the group, and we shall be returning to those in due course. Jazakumullah khair and jaza. Remember that the previous recordings are on the website tazkiya-ihsan.org. One can listen to those as well for a recap. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.